So in this episode of The Leadersmith, I want to talk about conducting online meetings. And I have some great advice from Harvard Business School, and we'll talk about that in just a moment.
In a world of incompetent bosses, micromanagers, and petty tyrants, one management professor claims that he can help you become the kind of leader that you would want to follow. You are listening to The Leadersmith. Now, here is your host, Darren Gurdis.
So as you probably know by now, I'm a professor at Charleston Southern University in the College of Business. I'm on an email list from Harvard Business School for the faculty lounge. They just send insights about educational-ish kinds of things. And here they sent something last week that was 9 tips for conducting field interviews virtually. And field interviews are for case studies, for case writers. I'm the former president of the Southeast Case Research Association, and I write case studies. And so this was really interesting to me. And then as I was reading through this, I thought, wow, you know, there's something that's the same thing if you just translate this to other meetings that need to be done virtually. It's all the same stuff. So while it's talking about 9 tips for conducting field interviews virtually, it's the same thing if you're making a sale or if you're managing virtually and trying to deal with people just in an online environment of any sort. So I'll give you the 9 tips with just a little bit of commentary. The first one is this: ask interviewees if they consent to the conversation being recorded. So when I run my Zoom meetings, I have a default on record. Let people know that you're recording and see if it's fine. And then here they said set expectations so that they have the opportunity to review all quotes prior to publication. Now that's not exactly important to to review quotes for your purposes, probably in business and marketing. But what I would do is I said, hey, look, let me record. I'm recording this meeting if that's okay, and I'll send you a copy if you would like, so you can see everything that we talked about. And most people would appreciate that. Number 2, limit capacity. Instead, be sure to ask yourself how many attendees are too many. And so if you have too many people on the screen, that can be a problem. For many people, just a one-on-one meeting is fine, but you don't want to load it up or overload it where you're looking at the Brady Bunch or something more than that if you can avoid it. Number 3, plan for a slower process. Use fewer questions or send questions ahead of time. Expect that there may be technical issues that lag and may increase interruptions. So here, there's 2 parts to this. One, just give them like an advance notice of what you're going to be going through instead of just having the conversation like you'd have. Say, hey, these are the things I want to talk about ahead of time so that they can kind of prepare. Because you're losing a little high touch in person, the highest touch is in person, right? Then a video conference, then a telephone call, then an email, then a memo, right? I mean, it's a scale of how information rich things are to how information poor things are. And so because you're losing some richness, give them a little, some extra crutches on which to prop up the conversation. The second one was expect that there may be technical issues, that lag time may increase interruptions. Yeah, that may happen. So just be aware that that's a possibility. Number 4 says build in breaks. So you want to stand up and stretch. You want to give yourself time to strategize and make adjustments before next call. So what he's talking about here is something that's going like all day when you're really spending time interviewing multiple people. Give yourself some maneuverability. And if you're a salesman, this is precisely the kind of advice that you want to give. You don't want to have back to back to back so you weary yourself. You want to be able to give yourself some time and space. Okay, number 5, maintain professionalism. Dress as you would when traveling for a field visit. Make sure the video background, or real or virtual, whichever it is professional, and limit interruptions as best that you can. So right now, even as I'm recording, I'm recording this in my home office. If you could see the screen, there's a background of just my home office, and it's just books because it's my home office is full of books. It's a library. And I chase my kids outside, go play, get out in the backyard, go play, you need some fresh air. And so it's quiet while I'm doing this. I think something strange happened when we're watching The Tonight Show or The Daily Show and the guy's sitting on his couch at home. It just feels so wrong. So to the degree that you can, maintain some professional kind of environment. Number 6, remain flexible. Virtual interviews may be easier to schedule, but they're also easier to cancel. And you need to be aware of this, that it's just the dynamics have shifted. In the same way that you know, the dynamics have shifted when we had a child sick and we created a doctor's appointment virtually, and it was on the phone as opposed to going into the office. It was just a strange thing. We got the same thing done, but it was just different. So just be flexible about it. Number 7, be comfortable offering technical support. So get familiar with coaching interviewees on how to navigate Zoom or whatever other equipment you have. And so I would say this, the time that you spend ahead of time just fooling around with Zoom or with WebEx or whatever program you use in order to do video conferences is well worth your time. Just, I mean, that half hour will help you enormously later on when somebody can't hear or can't get the video, and you can say, oh, just look in the lower left-hand corner, see that slash, you got to undo the slash, whatever it is, okay? Just get comfortable with the technology. Number 8, accept awkwardness. It's often more difficult to read social cues and body language virtually. So you just can't pick up on the same amount of information richness that you can otherwise. It says this, the usual tools of connection such as small talk are harder to use. However, if things just aren't working, and that brings us into number 9, bring the phone call back. And don't be afraid to use voice only phone calls. I mean, once upon a time, if you were in a different city and you couldn't travel, you would just pick up the phone and call somebody. You can still do that. And some people may still be more comfortable talking on the phone than doing a video conference. So those are the things that I wanted to cover here. Just 9 basic, pretty common sense ideas about how you should be conducting business online or virtually during this time. When you can get together face to face, that's great. It builds rapport whenever you can sit down and talk to someone, or even better when you can sit down and break bread with them, because there's just something different about that human connection. But if you can't do it, keep these 9 principles in mind. So again, this works for me as a researcher. It works for you as either a salesman or a manager. And I want to finish with a quotation for contemplation for today, and I want to expand a little bit on it. The quote is this, in teamwork, silence isn't golden, it's deadly. Now, think about this. In a meeting, if you know the boss says, we're going to go do this, and everybody's just sitting there quietly, that doesn't mean that they agree with him, right? That they could very well be sitting down on the inside and not agreeing with him. Same thing here in a virtual meeting. Just because you don't have, it just is not as comfortable to interact. And I know that this is the case when I'm dealing with my students in a virtual class. It's just not as inviting to answer questions and invite questions and things along. It's just a trickier environment. So don't assume that silence on the other end is consent. It may not be. So you have to work extra to make sure that you're on the same page. Ask more questions. Help them help you address whatever their needs are. Okay, that's all that I have for this episode of The Leader Smith. Thank you for your time, and I'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.